Donnie P. says, drive your business to success with 5 life-changing principles. The author of How to Catch a Mouse with No Cheese, Real-World Lessons and Experiences from an Entrepreneur, personally lived and breathed what he now teaches by building his business with nothing more than a pad of paper, a pen, and an empty wallet. As a result, he gained personal wisdom and experience in the tremendous success of his home care services business. Donnie shares his hard-won wisdom and experience next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat. With us, we have author Donnie P., who says, no money, no problem. Drive your business to success with 5 life-changing principles. He's the author of the popular book, How to Catch a Mouse with No Cheese, Real-World Lessons and Experiences from an Entrepreneur, and he certainly lived the tale. Donnie lived and breathed what he now teaches by building his business with nothing more than a pad of paper, a pen, and an empty wallet. He graduated from Southern University A&M College in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and soon afterward assumed every role required to most effectively run a business by becoming an expert in the areas of finance, sales, marketing, and operations. Today, with nearly 20 years of experience, Donnie is also a franchisor of a caring home care services business and develops business platforms that uplift others. He now coaches many new entrepreneurs and discovered that one thing stands out. Most people fall at the first hurdle because they become hell-bent on the need for stacks of startup capital. Donnie states that all they really need is determination, passion, and boundless stores of true grit. Money should actually be the least of their worries. His website is DonniePBooks.com. All right, Donnie is going to help us drive our business to success with 5 life-changing principles. Let's bring him on. Hello, Donnie. How are you?
Hi, Tony. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Thank you so much for being on our show, Revenue Chat. Very appreciated.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here and talk to your listeners about how I got started in business.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I can't wait. There's a lot that I want to ask you. But right before that, I mentioned a little bit about you, Donnie, and perhaps you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots and how you became an expert in your field. So please let us know, how did it all start for you?
Well, it started for me, Tony. First of all, I was born with an entrepreneurship spirit. And that awakening didn't come up to me until my junior year in college and starting my senior year in college. And I was born in South Louisiana in a household. My parents were educators. And they always told us to own your own business and control your own destiny. And living in a capitalistic type of society, you got to be a business maker and also own your own business and whatever that service or field of endeavor is. And back to that night, man, I had a call from my oldest brother at the time, back in the late 90s. He told me that my dad told me that he was not going to pay my bills anymore. And I've never held a 9-to-5 job before in my life. I didn't even know where to start. I'd done a lot of internships, but not a real job per se. And man, it was like a ton of big bricks. I'm sorry, dropping on my head. I was like, wow, what can I do now? And I had bills due. I had rent payment due. I had debt, car payment also due. And immediately I fell on my knees and prayed to God that somehow he get me out of this situation, this dire situation that I'm in. And the next morning, that night he answered my prayers. And the next morning, my mind just kept going with entrepreneurship type of a spirit, man. And my dad and them had owned the business, but they had closed it down and the office equipment was still there. So I used their office equipment, and then I researched what type of business that I can get into with exactly no money. I had nothing. Like in South Louisiana, we say they got this old saying goes, excuse my French, but not a pot to piss in or window to throw it out. So I was in a bad situation. And I researched a lot of different businesses, and starting off in business with no money, you want to find a government provider type of business, because the state government pays very well. They pay on time. So that's what I recommend all my people who ask me for business advice. What type of business that helps a person with no money? Exactly nothing. And as you know, we didn't have social media back in the day. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have nothing, nothing but word of mouth and getting your business out to the public. And that's how it all started out for me, man. I was a millionaire at 22 years old. The minute I started that business, it's already predicted. It shows that if you get in this type of business, you're already a millionaire, and I made it. And it was hard at first because it was on-the-job training. I never took a business course in my life. Don't plan to take any because they're boring to me. Just a waste of my time. So, but I get information business. I was born with that talent, Tony. So I got to use the gift God has given me. And being in business now for 20 years, of course, you go through the ups and downs, and there's no manual to this. And all I wanted to do in my book was discuss the five principles that can help people that start off with no money. It's very easy to start with money. That's a business. But it's very unlikely. It's very hard to start a business with exactly no money. So I discuss five principles they can use in helping them start their business, because I want to pass on the knowledge I've gained. I paid a dear price for my knowledge, just like everybody else. But I'm willing to share that knowledge with other people for them to be successful in life or somewhat successful in their business goals. So that's my mission in life right now. And if I can help just one person, I've helped a whole lot of people. So that's how I look at life now, Tony.
That's very cool, Donnie. Very cool indeed. I like that. And I see the wisdom in that. You're definitely from the school of hard knocks, and you've made it, which is very cool. Now, you say that before someone starts to create a business, before they get into it, that it's important for them to consider their end goal or exit strategy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, please?
Yes, Tony. When I started out, my main objective was just to pay my bills that was weighing on me, right? So once I got that over and done with, I needed to think about how to exit this type of business. Because as an entrepreneur, you always have different business ventures. Entrepreneur brain keeps going, going, going. Sometimes mine keep going to this very day till I have to shut it off. So I would tell them, always start a business and plan an exit strategy in 5 to 10 years. Build it up, sell it. Build it up, sell it. That should be the ultimate objective for every entrepreneur starting a business. Because to me, an entrepreneur got to have plan B, plan C, and sometime plan D to meet their business goals or objectives or mission in life. And to me, I started out trying to sell my business, but at the time, it was very hard for me to sell my government providing agency business because by that time, it had got saturated with other providers. And at the time, I say, well, let me use this money to create other businesses, of which I did. And I made so much money till it was about in 1999, 2000. It was during an economic recession downtime. The state just cut out all the providers that I was doing at the time. Because at the time, I was doing substance abuse counseling with adolescents, kids who have troubles in school. And I made a difference with my business. And the state cut out the program, and that's how I eventually left the program. And I got into two and three other type of businesses, which is a good thing. I failed at that. I didn't fail, but my main money foundation at the time was stopped. So I advise every entrepreneur to start up a business, be successful at it, and then sell it. Because you always do not want to be a one-trick pony, always have multiple holes to get money from. Like the saying goes, a poor rat have one hole to go to. That's a poor rat where I'm from. I used to live by sugarcane fields. And that's how I know about mice and rats from South Louisiana, where I'm from. So eventually, like I tell all of them, always have multiple business plans. Meet people, get out there with your same vision, hook up with them, and try to come to some agreement or goal where y'all can build up another business that can help and benefit each other. And build that one up and sell it. Build everyone up, every business they start and sell it. So that's how I look at it as an end goal, Tony.
Very, very smart. I like that. Wow. Very nice. Well, I definitely want to get into your life-changing principles here. Yeah, what are your five proven life-changing principles, please?
Well, the five principles I addressed in my book is How to Catch a Mouse with No Cheese. Is the first tenet I use is faith. If I didn't have faith in God, you wouldn't be talking to me today, or I'll be in jail, one of the two.
Oh, no.
So that's, I know myself, Tony. So that was a primary principle that I had. I had faith in God. Now, a lot of people talk about faith, but faith is fundamental in trying to start a business with exactly no money. Okay? So that's my first principle. My second principle I talk about in the book is truth. Starting off with no money, always be truthful to your suppliers or vendors or a guy you're renting from with your office space. Always tell them the truth, what you're going through. 9 times out of 10, they understand what you're going through. I'm just starting out. Tell them I'm trying to get my business going and trying to make money so I can pay you. So always be truthful to them, because I like dealing with handshakes. I don't like dealing with contracts and things of that nature there, because my sister is an attorney and I know the game, how that goes backwards and forward. So always be truthful to your suppliers or vendors or people you do business with, because word gets around fast. You might not think so, but it does. And my third virtue I use, principle, in my book, I use self-awareness. Always be aware of your weaknesses. Test yourself. For example, my strength is I love to meet people. I love to talk to people. And that's a virtue that you must have in business, in my opinion, to always go at your strengths. Work at your weaknesses. But always go from your strength to obtain knowledge from other people and work at it on your weaknesses. Like my weakness is budgeting. That's my weakness. I try to work on it every day. I didn't come from money. So I had to learn how to control or handle myself with money. And back in the day in the 90s, I wasn't a nice guy. So money is just a tangible asset, form of exchange to acquire goods. That's all money is. Some people take it to a whole different level that it doesn't need to be on. But that's my opinion on self-awareness. Always be cognitive of your weaknesses and work at it every day to get better. And that helps your business, because you are the head of your business. You are the CEO of your business, and nothing goes without you. So that's my third one, is self-awareness. My fourth one, is self-discipline. Always discipline yourself, because that's the best virtue of them all, is discipline. Discipline can help your business go if you stay focused to your business model or business plan. Discipline is the greatest virtue of them all, and it's not love. So don't let nobody fool you. It's love is the greatest virtue of them all. No, discipline. With discipline, discipline brings love. And that helps you achieve your goals if you stay disciplined. I had to discipline myself. I was horrible when I started. Did lots of extracurriculum activities, burning a candle on both ends, and something going to give when you're running a business from 9 to 5. So always be disciplined in whatever you do, either your services or your goods or whatever it is in business. Always stay disciplined and focused at all times. Sometimes relax, but at all times. And number 5 is service. So once you have achieved all your business goals, always give back to people less fortunate than you. Because how I grew up in humble means, you always want to give back to people that is less fortunate than you. Always give advice to people that needs advice. Always give help to people that needs help. So that's a way of giving back service to the community, because you never know what the next person is going through. So always treat people like you want to be treated. And that makes this place a better place. So always give back to anybody that asks for your help. And that's a form of service. So that's my 5 principles I talk about that can help a person just starting out with no money.
I love those points, Donnie. Very cool. And I have a stack of comments on them. I think we're going to have to do a couple more shows because I have lots to comment.
Yeah, Tony, I'm writing my autobiography. I'm sorry, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be quite a story. So we're going to talk again.
Oh well, that's very good. Definitely okay. You're on the comeback. So, in no particular order, but the first one is one of the first things that you mentioned. On getting government money for your business, Donnie, I understand in the 1990, even maybe the early 2000s, but today is such a different scene. Aren't there like so many people trying to get some money for this business and that business? So doesn't that take a long time? And isn't there a risk with it that it just may not happen?
Yes, it's when I started out, I just picked up a surgeon because I went through the Department of Health and Hospitals and it was looking for providers at the time. And they had just started servicing in Louisiana with the program. Now, to answer your question, it's very hard these days here because it's so competitive in getting contracts dealing with your state or federal government. It's very hard, slim to none. And half of that is run by politics. So if they're looking to get in that type of business, starting off like I did, always find a need in your community or program just starting out in business, whether state or city or federal government is looking for providers to help with their needs and helping their citizens in that type of services. Because it is very competitive out there. It may take longer than what you are expecting to be when you deal with any type of government entity, because the wheels turn very slow. But eventually it will happen if you got the tenacity to stick with it. But as a chance, it's a risk in everything you take. And if you can take the risk in business is a risk by itself. There's no guarantees. So hey, if you have nothing to lose, go for it. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned. They're very good at paying. They're on time with payments. And it was a steady income for me when I started out. And right now, like you said, Tony, it's been changed so much. And everything's over the internet now. It moves so fast. You might have a shot at it. Give it a shot. Give it a try. If a person with no money, they don't have nothing to lose, might as well go for it. So that's how I look at it with dealing with state, federal governments, contracts, and dealing with the city. If you're willing to stick it out, go for it. But if not, try your hand at producing a good goods. that goes out into the community. Try it that way, because it's so cheap these days with the internet. You can build a website and offer your goods like that. So that's a good way of doing it, with offering goods. They don't want to go the government route, you know?
Well, you know, you brought up a very good point, and that is you look for what new offers are out there by the government, by the state, as well as the federal. And I believe the state moves a lot faster in their decisions. And you look for what programs they've just released, and they're looking for someone to put into action. So there's your chance, because no one else has bid on it. So now you're in an even playing field. And then while that may take time, as you say, get into a useful good that your community needs. What is it? You'd be surprised sometimes what the community needs. And there's where your entrepreneur wheels start turning and looking, what is this community need more of? And then, yeah, put up a website, which is really fast and easy to do. And part of also one of your 5 points on that is start talking to people. And by the way, I'm glad you didn't have one of your points needing a business card, because you do not need a business card, everybody and anybody. You need your mouth. You need to talk. You need to go meet with people, hobnob, and just start talking. A handshake goes a long way. You don't need anything. You don't even need money, as Donnie P. says. So, yeah, I totally agree. And finding a need, getting very clever on how to fill it, and doing that while also putting in bids for the new programs that the state releases. Of course, the Fed, too, though I could be wrong, and believe me, I'm not an expert, but it just seems to make sense that the state would be faster in funding programs, and they have their deadlines, and they're a lot easier to meet with those people, or at least their secretaries, who will give you information as to the budgets and the meetings and et cetera, et cetera. So those are some really good points, Donnie. And I wanted to also comment on another one of your points, and that is on money. And, you know, I think you said this, you cannot take money with you. Money is here. It's temporal. It's here to stay on earth. You're not going to take it with you. So you have to look at that. What you do take and what is inherent in your 5 points, Donnie, and you've mentioned this, is it's your character. It's your integrity. That's what people, that's your business card, by the way. That's who you are. That's what you take with you when you leave this world, because you don't take the money. So it's not worth it to get the money any which way you can, because it's a very fleeting, temporal state, and it doesn't last. So I think those are some really good points on your 5 points to solidify that even more. And another comment on what you said in your 5 points. I had so many comments. I hope I remember them all, Donnie. You gave me so much to chat about, and you can, you know, say more on these. But you said something about being straight, being honest, you know. And I so, you know, I always say be straight. You know, I used to be very well known for saying, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. And the translation of that is, I'm very straight. I don't play mind games. I don't even know what a mind game is. I have no idea. I don't understand it. It's, if it's one way, I say it. And I don't say things to hurt people. Like, you know, if you have a bad, I don't know, bad hair day, or you got stains all over your clothes, I would tell you, you know, I don't withhold information, but I wouldn't say something on purpose to hurt someone, or at least I really, really don't try. Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make is, because one is straight, because you're true, it's a gradient scale. You know, it's not easy, I don't believe, to be 100% perfect, though that's a whole separate conversation. But you can really try hard and aspire. That's a lot easier to do for some. And I say to people, be straight, and then you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder. You know, you don't have to remember your lies, you know. And I've met too many people that have too many lies. And I wonder, Donnie, how the heck can these guys remember all that stuff? You know, I take the simple way, Donnie. It's just I say what it is, and I never have to wonder what I said to you because I only said to you what is true. So it makes it very easy for me.
Yeah, Tony, they got some characters out there, my friend.
Yeah, so. there are characters here on Earth, and that's fine. And they're here getting tested, and they're on trial just like we are. And we all have to aspire to be better. There is a higher power, and I am impressed that what you did was, you know, you communicated to the Creator, and many religions have, of which there are many religions, have many different names and ways of addressing it. So I simplify and I'll say the Creator, and he does respond and he does listen to those that try, to those that really aspire to be something better. You know, he's not going to give it to some drug addict or criminal. It's just, no, it's not that easy. So I'm very impressed that you've been shown the direction. And here you are. You've made it. And that's really, really awesome. So I wanted to say, very cool on you and those 5 points.
Oh, thank you, Tony. I try my best, man.
That's where it's at. That's where it's at. And that shows. Very cool. And feel free to bring up any of these other points as well. Let's talk a little bit more about getting business. Okay, so let me get this right now. We've got, because I'm taking your point of view, you've got you're working on your business, you've got your exit goal, your strategy, you're working on your 5 points. But you say there's a first step people need to really get in place to get off the ground. What's that, Donnie? What's the first step?
The first step, in my opinion, Tony, what they need to do is research. Research the best fit of business model they want to get into. Now, I was very young when I made my first $1 million. I was only 22. I had the energy. I thought I couldn't fail. I thought I was Superman, Tony. And I could start up any business I wanted to at the time. But when you're young and naive, you don't know. Just young, dumb, and full of yourself. But it all depends on what stage of your life you're in when you're ready to start a business. Now, let's say, for instance, if you are in your 40s or late 40s, early 50s, and you got a 401k plan that you have some money in, but you want to start a business, I would tell those individuals to franchise. Now, research whatever type of franchise or business you want to go into. See what best fits you, because you have to be there for that business almost 12 to 13, 14 hours a day. It's not going to be easy. Anybody who tell you that creating a business is easy is not telling you the truth. And you always want to be in a position to succeed and not fail. So the first step is to research. Now, in the evolution of the internet, there's a lot of materials on all types of businesses. Take at least 3 to 6 months to see what type of business you want to get into, because there's a lot of businesses out there in franchise opportunity. They got a ton of them out there. So see what business model fits you the best. And I would tell your listeners to start there first, Tony. That is key, because if you go purchase a franchise or start up a business where you don't be successful, so say in the 6 months, now it takes at least 3 years for a business to be successful, in my opinion. But give it a little time, do your research, and see what best fits you. Because if that business fails in the first 3-6 months and you feel like, oh, this is not the right thing, in return, you have lost a whole bunch of money. So, and mistakes in business can cost you. So always have a good team, a good knowledgeable person they can go to even help them if they've been working all their life or just starting out. Talk to someone who is in business, who knows the ups and downs, and people that their person they go to, be frank and honest with them. And if I had that to start off in business, I'll be a better person, but I didn't have that starting off. But always go to people that have been in business longer than you to gain some knowledge, because that can cost you in the end money you don't want to spend it on unnecessary things. So always do your research. So that is priority for me, because there's a lot of competition out there in your community or territory. And the reason why I pick a franchise system is because that franchise system is tried, true, and tested with a business model. And they know what works, what doesn't work, and what can fit you. But if you're starting off from scratch, you have to do the legwork yourself, go into your community, see where the need is, see where you can help people, or even bring in your goods, because 9 times out of 10, you will have competition in your community. So always look for something that's, if you bring in something different to the wheel, because the wheel is already created. Is what you're going to bring to it that makes it different? What makes you stand out? What can attract people to your services or good, which you have? In return, once you answer those questions to yourself, in return, 9 times out of 10, you will be successful. But you have to stick with the business model or business plan. Always, that goes back to discipline, one of my virtues. Always be disciplined in any type of business you have, because there will be hard days. But try to make some of your good days outlast your bad days. I still go through ups and downs, and I've been doing this for 20 years. But now, since I got older, I can manage them more. When I started off, it was very hard, very unmanageable. But now it's manageable for me, because I've been doing it for so long. I know it like the back of my hand, what's going to happen. So always stay focused, disciplined, and do your research, because there's a lot of competition out there. Don't let nobody fool you. And always stay focused. Know the trends of society. Always be principled in your virtues, and don't always go society route, but always stay focused and disciplined and have a good foundation, and you will be successful in business. And that's my outlook on it, Tony.
Very cool points, Donnie. I like that a lot. The research, absolutely, absolutely, because you just can't have a flash in the pan and start a very large scale business. It doesn't really happen that way. You've really got to know what you're going to get into, and then get your discipline in and rock on and make it happen. And frankly, you know, a person can be successful in any endeavor. And it's the research that gives you the data, the knowledge, the understanding, and so forth of all the potential pitfalls and successes, advantages, disadvantages, strengths and weaknesses, and so forth, so that when they come, you can deal with them better and better and better. And here you are, you know them now like the back of your hand. It's nothing for you. And that's because you've researched and you've really gone through that. So that's very cool. And another point you mentioned is speaking with people knowledgeable in that field. And that's a testament to why a mastermind group works so well as well. Getting with like-minded business owners, CEOs, entrepreneurs, even if they're in a different field, just people that are successful, they know what's going on, they're smart, they've made it, and they can help point things out or steer you away from blind alleys, you know, curves in the road coming ahead, and so forth. So very, very good points. Again, it's back to, I think you mentioned this in one of your key points, or you talked about it. It's going out there and talking to people. Make some good friends in the industry, and make them good enough friends so that you can ask them questions when you need to help you with your business. So those are some very, very good points. There's a couple little comments on that. I like that. This is really cool.
Yeah, man, I try my best for what I've learned being in business. And I want to give back the knowledge I've gained and paid a price for. And maybe they can benefit from my knowledge, my limited knowledge, I would say. always get out to meet people, because that is key in business. You have to get out in the public and meet people, meet different types of people, and see if they can help you. So that's key, man.
Very cool. All right. Now we're going to kind of switch. I think the hymns and the choir music is coming on, and people are going to think that we're going in church as a little joke, sort of kidding around, because we're going to be talking about something that's non-monetary. And people are going to go, is this spiritual? So let's ask you, Donnie, you talk about non-monetary assets and why they're so important. So please let us know what these are.
Yeah, the non-monetary assets can be something that, like, for instance, my father gave me money. That's non-monetary assets. My sister, that's all. She was a lawyer. She helped me put together my manual when I got started in business. So non-monetary assets is those assets which your family can bring in, or your friends can help you in business. Because use every resource that is available when you're starting off with no money. So try to get with people or your immediate family. Tell them what you're doing, how they can help you achieve your business goal. So always think with your church organization. See how they can help you. Get out there in the public. Always look up something that's for free and that can help you achieve your goals. Because when I started out, for example, I didn't have nothing. So I used what I had at my disposal at the time. And they really helped me achieve my goals, starting off with nothing to achieve mine. So they really helped me in that aspect. So always look for your immediate friends, family, to help you along your way to achieve your goals. And in return, you can help them in case they fall on hard times. So always look at non-monetary resources or assets that can help you achieve your goal. Well, even your education from your college. Talk to your old college friend. Always be driven in that form to help you. And in the end, you will be successful. So always use the tools that you have at your disposal. Use them to the utmost extent. But in return, when you help them, when they help you out, always tell them, I will be there for you in case you need me. Because you never know what might happen. So that's why I talk about non-monetary resources or assets in my book.
I like that. Friendship, companionship, someone to sound things off, someone that you can ask. Those are your non-monetary assets. I see exactly what you say and where you're coming from on that. And yes, that is the strength. That is the pillars upon which to build a business. Very cool on that, Donnie.
Yes. They got to have that. I had no choice, Tony, but to use what I had, man. So, you know, it was very hard. Sometimes my sister didn't want to work with me. You know, she was trying to get a practice off at the time. And, you know, I just was persistent. You know, I needed, what else can I do? I had my back against the wall. I had bills coming left and right, you know. Hey, I had to do something, my friend.
You know, Donnie, this reminds me of the baby bird in the nest who's very comfortable and just loves it there, just sits there, enjoys, hangs out, watches TV, I'm joking, gets fed, just loving it. And then one day, the mom, I believe, or the pop, depending on the species, I don't know, throws the little kid out. And the kid's got to fly and fend for himself or herself. And it changes the whole structure. And I see that that's what your dad did. I presume your dad did that on purpose. And look at what you turned out to be. Look at how you turned out. That's amazing. You've gone from being comfortable and taken care of to, in a very short time, you became a millionaire. That is absolutely amazing, but it shows the power of determination. And, you know, you just got to get out from that comfort zone. And that's what you did.
Yeah.
You didn't want to, but you did.
Yeah, man. It's not when somebody tell you your source of money, you know, coming in college, man, you was young, you think, hey, what, I can't do no wrong. But he told me, say, I'm not giving you no money no more. That's a wake up call, my friend. So, you know, can't ask for nothing more wake up call than that.
So I'm curious, when you became a millionaire, what were your conversations like with your dad then?
Oh, I turned the tables on him, Tony. I wasn't a nice guy, but I love him today. You know, I turned the tables on him, but I was a nice guy. Anything he wanted, I gave him, but I kept that chain on him. You know, sometimes he got out of control, but, you know, I had to get the leash on him again. But I gave him anything he wanted. My dad, an old educator, old coach, you know, so I gave him everything, man. So, you know, I was very happy. I made a lot of money, and I gave all my family. In return, some of my family members sued me, but that's another conversation right there. So,
oh, my. It seems when there's more than one sibling, and that's probably a large generality there, but it always seems that there's always some family issues, for the most part, in just about any family, any person I know that is not the only child. There's always some issue going on. That is so weird.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. My dad had six of us, and it was quite an ordeal, to say the least, man. But we all got along, and we all love each other to this day. But everybody had to take their own path in life, man. So it's just amazing, life journey and experiences. And hey, you got to love it, my friend. So I wouldn't change a thing, or everything I've been through in life, I wouldn't change a thing looking back on it to this day. But I advise anybody, if you want to be in business, pay your family members to stay away. That one big lesson I learned, Tony. Look, if I could go back on it, man, I'd tell them, just stay away.
That's funny. Sad but true, huh?
It's hard dealing with employees as it is, but once you start bringing in family members, man, they think they run the place, you know? So it's like, I had my fair share of that activity going on, man. So, you know, it wasn't a pretty sight. I kicked some of them out my office, and, oh, I wasn't a nice guy, Tony, but I had to make business decisions, and they didn't understand that. So, oh, it was quite an ordeal, Tony, to say the least.
Well, it's quite a porcupine to deal with, and I do understand. I do understand very much, because they didn't make the business, so getting in there and for them to go do this, that, and this, and that, it's not connected to the hard-won experience, the trials, you know, the knowledge of what is going to make that business happen. So how are they going to know? They just think they know, but no, you're the one that's been through it. You know what's going to work for that enterprise, that business, that industry.
Yes, man. For one instant, I got an example, if we got a little time, about family
sure.
Member. I had started up my own pecan candy with, outside of Louisiana. You know it as pralines. You get them in New Orleans. And I started my own candy company at the time in 2000. And my cousin that made the recipe, you know, I got my candy in Walmart. Walmart was ready to take me nationally. And Walmart stores, Super One and Albertson stores, they all love my candy, man. And at the time, you know, some of those people didn't pay vendors till like 30, 60 days. So I needed money to pay my workers. And I was so ignorant to factoring. I didn't know what factoring is, but I know what factoring is now in the financial system. And I was ignorant, man. And ignorance pays in business. And it cost me my business. But I had my contract. But in return, man, I went to my factory one day, and she thought I was making a whole ton of money, which I was not, because she just seen the glamour of outside, all the candies in Walmart and everywhere. And she thought I was making money. And in actuality, I was just breaking even, using my own money to pay my workers. And next thing I know, she comes across my desk with a lawsuit suing me. And trust me, she didn't come up with no money at the time to start a business. But at the time, man, I was like, what are you not getting here? You didn't come up with no money. It's hard to deal with family people, the nut and bolts of things. But if you have family members in your organization, please be honest and tell them the truth where they stand. Now, they may not like it, but always be truthful. And sometimes it was hard. But I got sued one time by my own family member.
Wow. Amazing. And that's your non-monetary asset. Now, you say, speaking of which, you say that there's a way to really maximize that. So what's the best way? What is your advice and opinion on this, please?
To maximize it is to maximize your non-monetary asset. Always get the maximum ability that person possesses out of them. Always see where they can help you bring strengths to your organization. Starting off with no money, you need them. You need their talent. And maximize, sell them a dream, but be honest. This is what I'm planning on doing. This is where I will be. Always stay focused and tell them the truth, and they will give you everything they have to their potential if y'all are on the same page. So always maximize their potential, and in the end, you will be successful in maximizing their abilities. So that's my outlook on maximizing your monetary assets. Always create a business plan, choose a business type and structure, the checklist as an asset. Monetary assets in my book, I discuss the simple checklist that the business must do to start your business, the foundation to make it run right. I'll go further in my book, but always get the maximum out of your non-monetary assets. So that's what I would say, Tony.
Okay, I got you. And in terms of the business industry and type, do you see any pitfalls there, or can someone just roll with any industry, or do you have some hard-won experience you could share with us as to what's a good business or industry to get into or to look at?
My first industry, I would say, look into, once you get past making money, because that was my hurdle, just making money. So once I made money, I wanted to do something that exceeded the amount of money I was making or grossing at every year. So the next business I got into was retail. Okay. So with retail, you have to establish a good directly that can help the consumer, because people wants to buy your good, whatever you produce, what makes you different, like I said. So look at the retail industry. And once you've conquered that, then you're ready for the restaurant business, okay? So I would say, for example, in the retail, always brand your business. Get a brand name. Trademark it. Trademark your logo. Always market the business. So that's retail, because you always have potential business out there that people are looking for. So once you have established all of that, like I say, you get into restaurants, and then you can get into a service type of business. There's different levels of business you can get into once you establish a good foundation. You must establish a good foundation in business to be successful, in my opinion. It's like building a house. If you don't have a good foundation of building a house, then the house eventually going to fall down. I don't care what you do. If you don't have a good foundation, good mixture in that foundation, it's not going to be right. So always start a solid business. Always develop a solid business, first of all. Then get into other avenues of the economy, because there are lots of things that make up the GDP. So you always want to get into one of those elements, sections that make up the GDP. So if one falls, you always got another business going going good. So that's how I look at, and that's what I do today, matter of fact, of how to maximize my business potential and my business overview on getting into other industries that'll help you.
Okay, I got you. Very cool. Now, you mentioned something about the marketing, because that's going to play a big part in that business making it and the strategy for that marketing. How do you develop that, please?
Your marketing, starting off with no money, you have to market the business yourself. Get out to the different organizations, your churches, get out to your local chamber of commerce, get out, meet people with marketing. Because the best form of marketing, in my opinion, is word of mouth. That is the best. It costs nothing. All you have to do is produce a good service. That's how I got most of my clients, because my service was impeccable. Always stress, always help people and give them the best service you want them to give you. So word of mouth is the best form of marketing. If you have money, marketing, always hire a marketing professional or a marketing group that has been in business for over 5 years, that have experienced other clients that can help them like they help you achieve your marketing goal or your target market or your consumer market, who you're trying to target. So 9 times out of 10, they've done their research. They know what can help you, what can't help you. Yeah, it might cost a little bit, but work with them. Tell them you're developing your marketing plan. For example, with my franchises, I develop, always acquire people in their territory from that state to develop their own marketing plan. And that what makes me, because I don't know the structure of the territory, I don't know the basic marketing of it. I always hire people, marketing people inside the territory or inside their state to help them market my brand, my franchise. So I would say, always start first with a good service, word of mouth. Always make your good or service impeccable to your competitors, because you're competing with somebody else in business. And number two, if you have money or you pass the point of getting money, always hire a marketing firm to help you market your goods or service in your community or territory. And I guarantee the word will get out and you will be getting people and your phone will be ringing. For your type of service or good you produce.
Very, very good points. I love them. Very true. Very right on point, Donnie. Love it. Absolutely. As we've discussed a little bit of this and commented just a little bit earlier, I like that. That is a great marketing strategy. And yeah, you're right. It is the best. Word of mouth, because it's you presenting your services, your products, and people remember you. You're the one that makes the impression on them, not some piece of paper. It's you. So it's very cool.
Thank you. Thank you, man. And nobody can market your business like yourself. Nobody knows your business like yourself. To this day, I still talk to potential franchisees and tell them about my franchisor system. I market my own business. I sell franchises. I know what I'm talking about and I know what I'm doing. So only you can tell your story to your potential customer, only you.
There you go. That's very good. Now, Donnie, at this point in my shows, I like to talk about willpower and inspiration. And we discussed a bit here and there. And I'd like to know, is there anything else that comes to mind on what drives you? What keeps you going, Donnie?
What keeps me going every day, Tony, is trying to help people meet their goals or be somewhat successful in life. And that's what keeps me going. Now, sometimes it's get hard. Sometimes hard to even get out of the bed. Sometimes like, oh, I don't feel like getting up today. But something wakes me up. My spirit wakes me up and say, oh, let's go, fighter. Let's make this happen. Because I'm a very driven oriented type of person. If you tell me I cannot do something, I will do it. But that might be detrimental to my health, but I'm more experienced now of what I'm doing, not to make stupid mistakes anymore. And that's, if I can help one person in life, I have done a whole lot. And that's why I wrote this book, How to Catch a Mouse with No Cheese, with real world lessons and experiences from an entrepreneur, because I've been on a ground level. I know what it takes. I know what it takes also to be successful, and it's not hard. But that's what makes me get up in the morning and try my best to either help a person who's trying to get in business or want some of my opinions or kind of expertise on certain subjects, on what to do and how to play certain equations on what comes up at them. But that's the thing that helps me wake up every morning besides God, is just helping people, because nobody's promised tomorrow. So I lost a dear friend, Moses Malone. You might know him. Used to play in the NBA. He's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And he told me before he left, and said, Donnie, because I know him personally. I didn't know the basketball player. I know him personally. He said, Donnie, I'm going to call you when I get back from the Hall of Fame. And I got a phone call that Sunday morning and say Moses was dead, died in sleep. So always, nobody's promised tomorrow. So always wake up every day thanking God you're able to see another day, because you cannot do it on your own or by yourself. If somebody tell you they're doing it by themselves, they're lying to you. They're a good bullshitter. But that what makes me wake up every morning, Tony.
I'm very inspired by that, Donnie. Very cool. And I'm sorry about the loss of your friend there.
Oh, everybody got to go one day, Tony. Just
so true. So true. But that inspiration to help someone, that is one of the best, if not the best, inspiration I've heard from anyone. That is very cool. I like that. The goal, there's nothing more I can say on that. That is perfect. It's beautiful. You're welcome. All right, Donnie, we are close to wrapping up. Is there anything else you would like our audience to know about, please?
They can find my book on Amazon.com or go to my website, DonniePBooks.com. If they go on my website and order the book, I'll send them an autographed copy. Tony, I'm going to send you one. You're such a great interviewer. I love the conversation. Also, man, that's about it. They can find me on Facebook under Arthur Donnie. They can find me on LinkedIn, Donnie P. Of course, with my franchisor system there, A Caring Home Care Services. And that's about it, man. That's where they can find me.
By the way, Donnie, I tried to find you on LinkedIn and I did not find you. I looked under Donnie P. Maybe I didn't get something right. I'm in LinkedIn, Tony DURSO. Please feel free to reach out to me and anyone else. I love making friends and I love connecting.
Okay, sounds good. And I'll send you one after the show, Tony. I'll send it to you through my LinkedIn account.
Oh, that's very awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Donnie. It's been wonderful. It's been inspiring. It's been awesome. I really loved having you on the show and doing an interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. I had a great time, my friend.
Awesome. Well, it was great. And once again, everyone, his website is Donnie P. Books. That's DONNIE. The letter P as in Paul, and books, DonniePBooks.com. Well, all right. Well, thank you again, everyone, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Alicia Nicole Waters, iconically known as the Global Evolutionary Leadership Mastery Pioneer, who's a cross-industries entrepreneur, and she's very passionate about bringing her total essence to the world through cross-pollinating her gifts throughout diverse industries. Some of her primary roles are in cross-industries branding, cross-niche journalism, and global radio marketing. She helps us catapult to success on the next episode of Revenue Chat. Listen to my other awesome interviews at tonydurso.com/radio. And please drop me a message. I'd love to hear from you. All right. Thanks again, everyone. And until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.